The NBA's regular season ends tomorrow night. The Toronto Raptors will finish first in the East. The Houston Rockets are number one in the West, and they'll both start the very long road of the NBA playoffs later on this week. In the NFL, protest dominated a lot of the headlines during last season. In many ways, the league struggled with how to handle protesting players and all that criticism from President Trump. Well, not so in the NBA. Players have used their platforms in basketball to mount protests all over the league, and they've been boosted by their teams. Dave Zirin is here with us. He's sports editor for The Nation magazine and host of the Edge of Sports podcast. Dave, great to have you.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, Dave, it was just a few weeks ago after the shooting death of Stephon Clark in Sacramento that you wrote that Black Lives Matter had collided with the NBA in Sacramento. And protesters in Sacramento came out and shut down an NBA game. You wrote about it. This is the most recent major example of activism coming to the NBA.
That's right. And one of the things about the Black Lives Matter protesters in Sacramento that they were able to do is also connect with the players and with the team. They were able to affect the consciousness of the NBA through their actions. Had a really, really interesting ricochet effect. I mean, first and foremost, you had the players themselves wearing T-shirts calling for police accountability in the death of Stephon Clark. Then you had the Sacramento Kings and the Boston Celtics actually film a public service announcement calling for accountability.
This is bigger than basketball.
Change can be uncomfortable.
Change is necessary. We need to talk.
We need to act.
Where one player, Al Horford, referenced Fox News and said,
We will not shut up and dribble.
So a statement that they have a right to speak out about these issues. And this was followed up by rallies that were held by Black Lives Matter that were attended by some people connected with the Sacramento Kings, including a guard named Garrett Temple. And I interviewed the founder of Black Lives Matter Sacramento, a woman named Tanya Faison. And what she said was, I said, look, we've been working on issues like this in Sacramento for 3 years. This one just happened to connect, and it just showed that we've reached a boiling point here in the city.
Dave, so many interactions out of the tragic death of Stephon Clark with these players, and so different from the protests and the way they emanated out from the NFL in the last 18 months. I mean, it's just remarkable.
It's very different in the NBA than the NFL, and we could look at numerous reasons why that's the case. But the number one reason, I believe, is that the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, has worked closely with the head of the NBA Players Association, Michelle Roberts, to make sure that players know that they are supported if they want to make statements like the Sacramento Kings did. I mean, think about what the Kings did. They had a PSA that played on the Jumbotron of their stadium. They had the owner of the team, a man named Vivek Randhawa, who spoke in solidarity with the protests the night that they shut the fans out of the arena. There is no way that happens in the National Football League. And because the National Football League is so top-down, so authoritarian in terms of its approach to players, that the players have felt like they have had to actually rebel in the one space where their helmets are off, which is during the national anthem.
And what about the president and his approach to these protests? I mean, everyone remembers the way it went down in the NFL and the president capitalizing on that situation to rally his supporters against take-any protests in the NFL. He hasn't done so with the NBA, but it doesn't mean he hasn't had something to say about players.
Well, the one thing that Donald Trump has done is withdraw any invitation to the Golden State Warriors from visiting the White House after they won a championship last year. But this was done after it became very public that the Golden State Warriors almost certainly would not accept an invitation from the White House. And Donald Trump has largely steered clear from the NBA. He hasn't responded on Twitter, as he does to so many people, to coaches like Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr, who've spoken out against him. He did not respond to LeBron James for calling Donald Trump a bum, very famously. That made the cover of the New York Times. And the reasons why I think Donald Trump takes such a wide berth from the NBA is that there's no way to reframe those kinds of protests. Like with the NFL, Donald Trump is able to say, look at them, they're not patriotic. Look at them, they hate America. And what they're trying to do is to have a discussion about Black Lives Matter. They're trying to spark a debate about police killings. And in the NBA, Because they're not doing the anthem protest, it gives Donald Trump less of a space for him to reframe those protests to be about something that they're not.
And still, at times it can seem, Dave, that it's kind of capricious which tragedies spark outcry from players and which don't. In your reporting, what determines whether famous players decide to get involved in an issue or join a protest? When do they decide to do it?
There are two big factors that I've identified, and I've studied this pretty close, because what you're asking is kind of the question. Why? And it's not just a question about sports. It's a question about our society, because there have been, I believe, 115 police killings in the last month. Why do one or two of these spark this kind of outcry? And when it comes to professional athletes, it's really two things. The first, quite obviously, is video. When there is video that's released of these killings, when people can actually see them and they get circulated on social media, it's able to break the highly constrictive bubble that so many players have to live in by necessity of being a professional athlete, where everything is about training and food and even monitoring your sleep heart rate to gain optimal performance. And the video is a huge factor. The second factor is if it happens in a player's hometown. I think Matt Barnes, for example, who we mentioned before, is from Sacramento. That has a huge impact. Also, Sacramento is a very small town, so people who have played there feel a sense of connection to the community.
Well, Dave, the long slog of the NBA playoffs are coming up later on in the spring here. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but it's a huge platform. Are you going to be surprised to see protest be a part of the playoffs and the finals?
I think that's going to be entirely affected by what happens outside the arena, what happens with the police. I mean, that's the thing that we've learned, is that athletic protest is not the engine of what happens. It's the reaction to what happens. So if there are protests, if there are more high-profile police shootings like we just saw in Brooklyn this past week, then you will see protest. Without that, I don't think you will.
Dave Zirin, sports editor for The Nation magazine, host of the Edge of Sports podcast. Dave, great to have you.
Oh, thanks so much, Todd.